Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Patrick Pizzella. Patrick is the Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management and the Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Labor. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
And joining us on our conversation is Morgan Kinghorn.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Pat, let's begin by setting some context. What functions does the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Management and Administration perform?
Well, the Department of Labor, for the benefit of your listening audience, is a $56 billion, 17,000 person employee department with 568 locations spread out across the country. The Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management handles several functions there. One has to do with the budget development for the department, human resources function of the department, administrative services, dealing with things that go on actually inside the building, mail management, and some of the sort of the nuts and bolts things of a government agency, information technology, and we also supervise the Civil Rights Center, which makes sure that recipients of financial assistance that the department provides to the citizens is being done in an equitable way.
How big is your team and what type of skills do they have? You describe such a wide range of activities.
The right people are in the right jobs, I guess is what I'll say. They have a variety of skills. The professional staff has a terrific background to accomplish the tasks and missions of the department. And administration and management is really a service part of the department. We really work more with our fellow employees and my fellow assistant secretaries than we work with our recipients of federal aid or the other people we serve in America.
And what are your specific roles and responsibilities as the Assistant Secretary?
I'm at sort of 50,000 feet view of it. I provide advice to the Secretary and the Deputy Secretary on those administrative matters that I mentioned earlier. I coordinate much of the President's management agenda. President Bush has, from early in his administration, laid out in a management agenda that for the entire federal government, and the coordination of that, most of that in the department falls within my responsibilities.
Pat, you also serve, as Paul said, as Chief Information Officer, and those are sort of very broad responsibilities in and of themselves. What are those responsibilities, and how do you integrate those two different positions you have, head of administration and broad management of the information technology resources?
Right. Well, let me go back to the President's management agenda for a minute, because one of the key components of his agenda is the expansion of e-government, and which really falls to the Chief Information Officer to implement and carry out. And I think your listeners are probably aware that the Office of Management Budget has a scorecard that they put out annually that rates all the departments and agencies regarding how they're doing against the President's management agenda. We're very proud at the Department of Labor to have been the cabinet department with the highest rating in the recent scorecard. On the red, yellow, green rating system, we had three yellows, and one of those was for eGov. And I think the success of our eGov efforts are very much attributable to the integration of the role of Assistant Secretary and CIO. We have a very strong, capable professional staff. The President's management agenda helps focus everybody, political appointee or career. It's very clear, and so that serves as sort of a real guide stick. And so there's not so much a division of time as it's really making sure that we integrate well the various components and responsibilities that I have so that the agenda moves forward.
You've had a very varied career, I think both as a career employee and now as a presidentially appointed. Tell us a little bit about your career prior coming to the Department of Labor, and perhaps a little bit about how you got to the Department of Labor.
I've always been in the accepted service. I've always been an appointee. I came to town with the Reagan administration, and I've served in six federal agencies between the Reagan and the Bush administrations now. And in between that time, I spent 5 years at a working in a as a government affairs counselor, a lobbyist for the for a Seattle-based law firm here in Washington, D.C. And I wanted to come back into public service if the candidate I was supporting was ended up winning and President Governor Bush succeeded. And I volunteered and was assigned the task of heading up the transition for the Bush-Cheney team regarding the General Services Administration, which is an agency I spent almost 4 years at in the Reagan administration. And then on the first day of the new administration, I was asked to go over to the Office of Personnel Management and serve as Chief of Staff. I was one of those people who were on the landing parties that arrived on the first day. And so I spent 8 weeks there, and which was a very useful experience leading up to the Assistant Secretary position at the Department of Labor. And then after about 8 weeks there, the Secretary Chow asked me to come over and prepare for the role at the Department of Labor.
Yeah, I think our paths first crossed in the early 80s when I was at EPA and you were there also. And it's been about 10 years, I think, 8 to 10 years. Do you find anything significantly different in how you approach what you're doing now than you might have approached it 8 years ago when you first came into public service?
Well, I don't want to embarrass both of us, Morgan, but back then there were very few personal computers, and
what were they?
I think the difference is and a lot of it has to do with just agenda and the way agendas are approached and advocated. From the standpoint of management issues, the president's management agenda is a superb roadmap for people in that area of government to follow. There's even a website, results.gov, that sort of focuses on the president's management agenda. And the team that Secretary Chow's assembled is a team made up of both veterans from previous government experience and newcomers to government, but those with real specialized talents in the areas they've been assigned. And so we have a very coordinated and good working relationship, and it helps us move the agenda forward.
You indicated you were deeply involved in the transition, and I'm just curious because your description of the first landing seems to conjure up the picture I have in my mind. What are the management challenges of being there on the first day and working through the transition like that?
The challenge is to sort of immediately meet the right people who are there and really know what's going on, and the career staff that is in place, I think most people will tell you, are very helpful and provide some sound advice. But on your first day, have a lot of questions that you ask. You have some assignments that you're expected to carry out, but you've got a lot more questions that you need answers to, so that you can keep sort of the ball rolling and you can be responsive to the other parts of the executive branch, where everybody's calling everybody else and making sure they've got the right phone number and then the right email address and so on. But it was a very good experience at OPM. There's a very talented staff that was there, and was an area that I had some knowledge of, human resources issues from my previous stint at education and GSA and so forth.
Are there cultural differences? Morgan was asking you to compare across different time periods. How about across different administrations, having been in the Reagan administration and the Bush administration now?
I wouldn't say that there's cultural differences. There's, I guess, a few of the differences is, one, those of us who were in the Reagan administration and now are in the Bush administration are much more experienced. So we come with a bigger knowledge base. The president's management agenda was extremely helpful to new managers because it answers a lot of questions even before you have to ask them. And I guess also just the idea of certainly from my own experience, just there's a difference between coming to Washington for the first time and taking a position versus leaving your office at one end of, Pennsylvania Avenue and going to a building at another end. So made it a lot easier.
That's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Patrick Pacella of the U.S. Department of Labor. What's the state of e-government at the Department of Labor? We'll ask Patrick when the Business of Government Hour returns.
What exactly is performance-based contracting? In a recent endowment report, Making Performance-Based Contracting Perform, What the Federal Government Can Learn from State and Local Governments, author Lawrence Martin identifies and describes innovative approaches to contracting. Examples from state and local government tell an interesting story about new ways to undertake performance-based contracting. The report outlines 10 case studies of innovative approaches to the procurement process using performance metrics. The examples include the Arizona Department of Economic Security, the City of Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Ontario Canada Realty Corporation. The report also contains a set of recommendations addressed to the Office of Federal Procurement Policy on how the federal government can learn from the best practices and experiences of state and local governments. For a copy of this report and other endowment reports, visit our website at www.businessofgovernment.org or call us at 703-741-1077.